back into Exodus. And we left off last week with this, it's just art. And that's in reference to the golden calf, right? Moses had gone up on the mountain, and a couple of you, I think that maybe one or two were absent last week. A question came up a couple weeks back or so about, do you remember the whole incident of the golden calf? There were a couple that had said, well, wait a minute, Moses is up on the mountain with God getting the Ten Commandments. The people are down at the base of the mountain. They rose up to play and party and made a golden calf, but they didn't know they were supposed to do that, right? I mean, Moses was on the mountain getting the law. He was getting the Ten Commandments from God. He hadn't brought them down yet, so why is God so mad at them? And where did I turn to go back earlier? Do you remember? In fact, let's just do it for fun. Let's go back 10 chapters to 24. What verse? How about 7? So God gave them the law. He proposed the law to them, and they said, we'll do it. Hey, give it to us. We'll do it. We'll keep it. 24:7. Then he took the book of the covenant, and he read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. Boy, they should have kept quiet, shouldn't they? They should have said, Lord God, this is your covenant, and we will attempt to do it by your aid and your help. But they were very very vocal there. We'll do it. So for those of you that had asked that question about how the people surely couldn't have had the law first, they would have never done what they did with the golden calf and rising up in sin as they did. But we go back. Chapter 32 comes after 24, right? Is everybody with me chronologically? God had proposed the covenant to the people. He said, I have called you to be my people. Out of all the peoples of the earth, I have chosen you. What do you think? And all the people said, right on. Hey, we're there. And God said, I've got a few rules I want you to keep. Not a problem. Anything you ask of us, we'll do it. We will be obedient. And then God said, Moses, come back up here on the mountain now. You've told them everything I wanted you to tell them. Now come back up here. I'm going to officially give you the big ten on two tablets. And God cut them out with his own finger, didn't he, out of the side of the mountain, and wrote them, and they were smoking, and Moses picked them up, and the people down below, it seems it was at the end of the 40 days that Moses had been up on the mountain, and the people said to Aaron, where is Moses? We don't know what's happened to him. Here, make us a God that we can follow, a God that we can see. Where did they learn idolatry? Where did they learn all that? Down in Egypt, didn't they? It's in our hearts, isn't it? Because we don't like to follow a God that we can't see. We want something material, something of our own idea, something that we can make that we're comfortable with, instead of following a God we can't see. But he has revealed himself to us, and he speaks to us through his word, doesn't he? And we can follow him, and we can be obedient to his word. It's the same word he gave them that they said, we'll do it! And I don't know about you, but I like to say to God, help me do it. Help me do it. I fall short all the time, but help me to do it, Lord. Help me to be obedient to you. And the way best way to do that, as we propose around here, is get in and start reading it, don't we? We got the Bible reading plans. You can, every day it tells you the date, the month, and a couple chapters a day will keep the devil away, won't it? No, it won't keep him away, but it'll sure help. And you get on this Bible reading plan, and then we can all talk to each other about it. Hey, did God spoke to me in this way, or God spoke to me in that way? And that's just one way to be in touch with God every day. And certainly, we do it here as a church body on Wednesdays and Sundays and at other times. We want to have things like this to pass out so that you can sit down with the scriptures and see what baptism, and you say, oh yeah, that is what it's all about. So that's what we're trying to do. But just to answer those specifically that weren't here, that was a question with a couple of you. Well, wait a minute. God hadn't given them the law. Why is he being so hard on them? No, he did give them the law. Then Moses went up on the mountain. They sinned against God. And then last week we saw that God sent Moses back down to them, renewed the covenant. God is so gracious, isn't he? And you remember one of the major illustrations or points, applications that we brought out of that, the importance of us interceding, praying for one another? God said what to Moses when the people sinned as they did? What did God say to Moses? He went back on the mountain. or he was, I'm sorry, he was on the mountain with God before he went down, and God said, you know, I'm angry with these people. Get out of my way, Moses, that I might do what? Wipe them out. I'm going to wipe them out. What did Moses say? Go ahead. A lot of leaders today would say, go ahead. He interceded for them, didn't he? A lot of leaders today would say, God said to Moses, I'm going to wipe, God said to Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to start a brand new nation with you. A lot of guys today would say, hey, that's great. You know, those are a bunch of stiff neck. I mean, would the new group be any better than the old group?
No.
It's not the group. It's all of us. We're all sinners. We're born sinners. But through God's grace and through following his word, and for you and I today as Christians, we've got him living inside of us, don't we? We're supposed to. The Spirit of the living God is inside of us. But we need to learn to hear his voice and to submit to him, to be obedient to his word. Obedience will bring blessing, doesn't it? And so we need to be obedient to his word, let him bless us, and seek to follow him. Was the application. Moses interceded for the people, and then God relented of his great anger, and he said, all right, go on down and get them under control. And then Moses, after the picture of Moses interceding for them, you can learn a lot about prayer by seeing what he did. He fell on his face before God and implored God to help him with the people. And in fact, he told the Lord, if you won't repent and save this people, blot me out of your book, Lord. Just do away with me. Don't let me be around to see the carnage. I won't be able to stand it. And God was so impressed with Moses. And did God not know what Moses was going to do? He knew exactly what Moses was going to do, didn't he? And so God was blessed, and he told him, all right, I won't wipe them out because you've prayed. And you remember where God and Moses have this conversation going on, and God says, your people that you brought out of Egypt, get out of my way. They're an obstinate people. And Moses is like, I don't know that. But he didn't do that, did he? He just said, oh, Lord, they're your people. These are your people, oh, Lord, and you've asked me to lead them. And I'll try to lead them, but whatever you do, Lord, don't leave us. Stay with us. And then we left off last week with that great picture of Moses asking God to see his glory. Please reveal yourself to me. And I didn't have time to get it. My friend Ted Larson, that did those slides that we saw on Sunday, and the slides you see that I do a lot of, he just finished the book of Exodus. Like, where were you a few weeks ago, or, you know, a couple months ago when we started this? But he just finished it, and he has a beautiful picture. I've tried to convey to you that it was Jesus Christ in all of his glory that came on the mountain with Moses, wasn't it? No man has ever seen God the Father, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, because God is pure spirit, isn't he? No man has ever seen God the Father. Well, who did they see in the Old Testament? They saw God the Son, pre-incarnate. Before Jesus took on flesh, when he would show up in a human form, they were seeing Jesus Christ the Son. And Ted Larson has a picture of Jesus passing by in all of his manifest glory between the cleft of a rock and putting his hand out and shielding Moses. What an awesome picture. And I know that does you all not one bit of good. I'll have it next week. Just didn't have time to download it. I was trying to get home to do it and just ran out of time. So let's jump in here at 34. The covenant renewed. Now the Lord, and we looked at 34, these first opening verses last week, but several of you weren't here, so we'll just walk back through it. In 34, the renewal of the covenant. The Lord's commandment written on two new stone tablets and the revelation of his glory to Moses. So the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. How'd they get shattered? Anybody remember?
He threw them down, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. He came down and he saw what was going on, and he couldn't believe it. And that was another thing I started to say, is up on the mountain, we get a picture of Moses interceding passionately for the people, doesn't he? But is he soft on sin? Oh, let's be tolerant. We have to be tolerant. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. What did he do? He waded down there into them. He broke the Ten Commandments. He was just livid. He couldn't believe it. He got that golden calf, burned that thing, took all the ashes from it, mixed it with water, and made everybody drink it. And then what did he do? Anybody that's for the Lord, cross over here to me. Who crossed over to him? the Levites. What did he tell them to do? Strap on your swords, boys, and go to work. Cut them to pieces. Don't spare anyone. Was he soft on sin?
No.
Why was he so hard on sin? What's happening to our...
It's rampant. It's like a virus.
It is like a cancer. It's like the bird flu that's coming. The bird flu, undoubtedly, it's going to come. And it's going to kill millions of people. And the United States is, well, we'll worry about it when it gets here. And Canada and all the European countries, they're all producing this stuff like crazy. Do you think they think it's coming? You bet it's coming. But I would venture to say that all of our politicians have already had their shot. How much you want to bet? And they're going to get rid of some of us. And who's going to pay the tax? I have no idea.
I was going to say, though, it's as you were talking about Moses and how he's with God and he's pleading for the people. It's funny, when we're in God's presence, when we're in God's house, it's so much easier to display the fruit of the Spirit than when we get out amongst people. Then it's really easy to get angry. But when we're with God, it seems that it's much easier to have more of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control. Not that I'm saying that Moses did anything that was wrong, because I think he was acting on God's behalf. But it sure is easy to be more peaceful when we're sitting there with God.
Amen. And the point with Moses is we see the two personalities of Moses. He was a man of God. He pled for God's mercy and grace for the people. But dealing with sin as a leader, he dealt with it. And today we don't. Oh, let's embrace everybody. We got to love everybody. No, we don't have to love everybody. We're supposed to, we are to love them, but call sin what it is. The New Testament, we're commanded in the book of Peter to expose the evil, to expose the darkness, to call sin what it is and quit pampering it and embracing it. But boy, you can't do that anymore. They'd shut us down if we started trying to do that. But we are to do that. And I would say, don't be on the sin patrol, unless you want to go look in the mirror first. Right? Jesus said, get the log out of your eye before you worry about your brother with the smoke or with a can of beer or whatever. We got to work on our own hearts, and me first and foremost. Well, I'm preaching too much of myself. Better move on here. So the Lord tells him, now you're going to have to cut out two new stone tablets. God cut out the former ones, didn't he? He just blasted them right out of the mountain and wrote on them, and they dropped to the ground or whatever, and Moses picked them up. So now Moses has to cut out two new ones, but God says he'll write on them again. So the finger of God is going to write out the Ten Commandments, just like the former ones. Be ready in the morning, verse 2, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. It seems like Moses was always getting up early. I mean, this is a 5 o'clock guy. He was up early and ready to go. And I know some of you that doesn't really suit your fancy. But he was ready to meet with God. And God never sleeps. So, 5 a.m. or midnight or whenever is good with God. But Moses is up early and he's ready to go. And he come up to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. And no man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks, the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So he cut out two new stone tablets like the former ones. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took the two stone tablets in his hands. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by. And you remember, he had asked in the end of chapter 33, he had asked God to see his glory. And he said, you can't see my full glory. It would burn you up. You aren't now equipped to see it. There's a day coming when he will transform us into the image of his glory. And he will give us eternal bodies, and we'll be able to dwell with him and see him face to face. But that isn't now. It's not until he calls us all up and glorifies us and gives us our eternal fitted model. Then we'll be able to see him. But at this time, we're not equipped to see him. So he had told Moses, you can't see all of my glory, but I'll tell you what. There's a rock, there's a cleft in a rock nearby. You stand back in there, and I'll pass by in front of you, and I'll put my hand up and shield you, and I'll let you see my backside as I pass by. And so Moses said, that's good. That's good. Let me see your glory. And so now the Lord descends in verse 5 in the cloud, and he stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sins. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon their children and upon their grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. As we pointed out last week, what this passage wants you to see, generations isn't in the original Hebrew. It's supplied in the translations. God, who is gracious unto thousands of who? Thousands of generations of mankind. Yet he also will punish the sins of the fathers who sin against him. And the punishment is usually in the shape and form of, as I do, my children are going to do, right? And their children are going to do. And generally, historically, as you study this, three or four generations will run along before God can turn one of them back to him and his purposes again. That's how horrible sin is. Sin is deadly. And yet today, I think we're all maybe embracing it too much. I know we are as a society, aren't we? We're coddling sin, and we all have our little pet sins that we just haven't quite given up to the Lord yet. Driving too fast? Ooh! you name it. You fill in the blank. And what the Lord really wants of us, and the message Sunday is going to be, he wants all of us. He wants total commitment and dedication. And if we will do that as individuals, as a body, we'll be around a long time, and we'll have an impact on this community and the world through our missionaries. As we said, do you want to be part of that type of a movement of God's Spirit? Getting ourselves pure and right before him, and then letting him work through us by his Spirit to accomplish his work. Zechariah 4:6, the key to that book, and I've mentioned last week, I'm thinking about us adopting that as a church, as individuals, as a church body. Not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord, but by my Spirit, my work will be accomplished. He's going to get it done. The question is, do we want to be part of what he's doing? Do we want to bring people in to come to know Jesus Christ? Do we want to be built up spiritually? Do we want to be set free from sins? Do we want to be involved in supporting missionaries that have gone out into the world to serve him? That's the question. And here, Moses gets to see him in all of his glory. And we pointed out that this verses 6 and 7, this is the key theology of the Old Testament and the New, isn't it? And what does God want us to know about him? That he is gracious, merciful, loving. He's just filled with loving kindness. And does he get angry against sin? Oh, you bet. Is judgment coming? He won't leave iniquity unpunished. It's going to be punished. So the question is, are we in Christ? Are you in Christ? Because when he looks down and sees Jesus, when he's looking at me, what does he see? One who's perfected. Do I blow it? Yeah, I blow it, and I have to get right and confess and ask him to help me. But when he sees me, he sees Christ, one who is covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When he sees you, if you've confessed Christ, he sees one who is complete in Christ. That's the question, isn't it? Have we received Jesus Christ, and now do we want to labor to serve him until he comes for us? But God's primary nature is that he's filled with loving kindness and mercy, but he does also punish transgression. We don't talk a lot about that today, do we? People don't want to hear a lot about transgressions being judged because we're all transgressing. But for you and I as Christians, I hope that you will all get a hold of the fact that our sins have been judged in Jesus Christ. We have been, positionally, we're perfected, aren't we? But yet daily we need to be sanctified. We need to daily be walking with the Lord, reading his word, praying unto him, asking him to help us live it in our daily lives. Not just on Sunday. Do you know a lot of folks, their Bible sits on their coffee table all week, doesn't it? If they're brave, if not in a drawer or, you know, on a Bible shelf, if they got people visiting that they don't want to see that Bible. And they pick it up on Sunday and, hey, how you doing? How you doing? It's a Sunday Christianity. But we want to live this every day, don't we? So that we're able to share with folks when we're given the opportunity. I have a couple of folks I'm going to go out tonight to share with, and I'm tired. I don't want to go out, but God has laid it upon my heart to go share with them tonight. That's what we're talking about, being led of the Spirit of God, because it's his work. If these folks respond to me or not, that's up to the Holy Spirit, but it's my job to go tell them one more time. Maybe the last time that I have an opportunity to tell this couple that they need Jesus Christ, that they can't continue to, oh, well, we'll worry about it tomorrow. You don't have no more tomorrows. You're getting ready to step into the great eternity where you're going to find out, oh my, that stuff they've been all of the family's been telling us for 70 years is true. Oh my, it's too late then. So we need to go the extra distance, don't we? And reach folks. And Moses certainly did that. But God is so gracious, filled with loving kindness. But he will judge transgressions. The day is coming when he will. Verse 8, Moses made haste to bow low towards the earth and to worship God. When God's glory passes by, what is Moses and what are the prophets? What do? When they get even an angel shows up, what do? They hit the dirt and cover up. What do our modern charismatic preachers, what do they all do today? Jesus was right on my bed and he said, I have called thee, brother, to be my special witness. I'm going to give you special revelations. Revelations outside of Scripture? Beyond Scripture? Who should I follow then? And you're going to have the gifts of healings. You'll be slaying thousands everywhere. It's outside of Scripture. Just stop and listen to these fellas when they're going on and on. We got these Christian cable networks all the time. They're always talking about this stuff. God showed up to them and commissioned them. He's given them special revelations. Why does he give special revelation if this is his revelation? And how come so much of the special revelation is different from this revelation? Just some things to think about. Here Moses hit the dirt and covered up. And anytime you see a prophet, that's what they do in the presence of Almighty God. But this new brand of preachers the last 20 years here, especially in America, they see him face to face. He gives them revelations all the time. Does he or doesn't he? That's the question. I don't believe he does, because their revelations don't match this book. And we have to be very careful, folks. And we're living in a day where we're all just supposed to embrace each other and Jesus is the only thing that matters and we all got to love each other. But we're living in a day when the word's always been under attack, hasn't it? But we're living in a day when it's really under attack. And it seems like these folks got the majority of Christendom following them. They own all the satellites and got all the satellite networks, and man, the money's just flooding in. But those that are teaching the word seem to be struggling along, don't they? Because the truth, Paul told Timothy in the end days that many false teachers are going to invade the church and they're going to tickle people's ears and people are going to gather to them because they're going to tell them what they want to hear. Embracing a form of godliness and yet denying the truth. They will be in opposition to the truth. But Moses wasn't that way, and that's getting off on a different subject, but just to point out here, Moses made haste. That means he hustled. He hit the dirt quick. And God had told him that he would do that. You can't see me in all my glory. What did Jesus keep himself veiled in all the time? A cloud, right? A cloud by day, which provided air conditioning for them, and a flaming fire by night. He was in the midst of it. But here he steps out of that and lets Moses see him. He steps out of the cloud and shows Moses all of his glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. New Testament, when did Jesus do that? Where would you go to show somebody that glory? The Mount of Transfiguration. Where's that found? Matthew 17. His glory just burst out of his flesh, just radiated. What did Peter, James, and John do? Oh, dude, far out. What'd they do? They hit the dirt and covered up. And you got to love Peter, because what was Peter doing? He's trying to peek. Just blinded.